Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 402. I'm Amy Matheny, and I'm kind of calling you from the road, and I'll tell you more about that in the upcoming shows. But I am flying solo a little bit today, but I've got some help from Richard Knight Jr. giving us a review of The Company Men, new film with Ben Affleck, Kevin Costner, Tommy Lee Jones. Really seems to put a spotlight on the recession 3 or 4 years ago. And through the eyes of these men and corporate restructuring and firings and the economy, did he think it was a film to not miss or one to just go do something else instead of going to the movie theater? Also, speaking of movies, the Oscar nominations came out, and Richard Knight Jr. and I probably did a pretty good job when we talked about the Golden Globes of what would be nominated, but big excitement around The Kids Are All Right earning 4 Oscar nominations for Best Film. It'll be going toe-to-toe with The Social Network for that. Annette Bening for Best Actress, and she'll be going toe-to-toe with Natalie Portman. Mark Ruffalo in the Supporting Actor category. Amazing that he's nominated for that. How great is that? And also Best Original Screenplay for Stuart Bloomberg and Lisa Cholodenko. And I think they're going to have stiff competition in many of those categories, but really hope Annette Bening pulls out a win. I loved Natalie Portman in Black Swan, but I really, really, really want Annette Bening to have her year and to shine in this category. She lost twice to Hilary Swank. Thank God Hilary Swank's not up for a nomination. However, Natalie Portman will go on to make many more films, and so will Annette Bening, but I just think she's so exceptional in this film. And speaking of exceptional, I had exceptionally good time last night. Now, over the Christmas holiday, my brother turned me on to The Real Housewives. Now, I've never watched any of The Real Housewives at all. I think I know who Nene is. Is that how you pronounce it? Nene? I don't know. From Atlanta, because my cousin Amanda tells a really funny story about her. However, my brother got me turned on to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I have to say that since Christmas, it has been this little guilty pleasure gift that he has given me. And so I had an opportunity over the weekend to watch the reunion where they come back and they sit down and we find out about Kim and Kyle and is Kim, does she have a drinking problem and are they still not speaking? And we get to find out if, Camille Grammer, what's going on with the divorce and is she really as unpopular? Is that warranted how she is appearing on the reality show, or is that all in editing? And might I say, by the way, that Kyle is hot. And also my favorite character on the show, Lisa Vanderpump. Now, that name alone is just the best. And for Kelly, my partner's birthday, we played Celebrity with some folks. And no one in the room knew Lisa Vanderpump. I put it in the basket. And I had just learned who she was a week before. But I guess there's a big falling out with Cedric. Is that his name? Cedric the Hunk? You all know who I'm talking about, gay boys. So I just could not wait. And I'm in suspension because the rest of it airs tomorrow, Tuesday, the second half of the reunion. And we kind of built to the really climatic, what we all want to know information at the end of the first half of the Real Housewives reunion. So that has been a bit of my trash, and for a bit of my class, I cannot wait to watch the end of Downton Abbey. I'm such a BBC geek when it comes to these miniseries, and it has been really amazing. If you've not watched Downton Abbey, you can watch it at pbs.org. It's so cool today that television, so much of it is streamed online. But our we'll have a big amount of news because there's a lot going on, but really something that feels very full circle for me is that Hawaii is very close to securing civil unions for GLBT individuals. And when I started on the radio with Les by Gay Radio back in the 90s, Hawaii was the state. Hawaii was where everyone's attention started with gay marriage. And they really were the sacrificial lamb in many ways to this conversation that led to Massachusetts and Iowa and all the rest either passing same-sex marriage or civil union laws. But the Hawaii State Senate passed at the end of last week Senate Bill 232 by a 19-6 vote. It provides equal rights and responsibilities of married couples in Hawaii to be available to thousands of same-sex couples in the state. And they want to lay this to rest. They want it to be done. So there was a big controversy with Governor Linda Lingle vetoing the previous bill, civil unions bill, that passed in 2010. So who knows? We will see what happens. It now moves to the state house for consideration. They have their own version of the bill, which is House Bill 1623, which puts some updates to the previous bill. So, and it raises some concern over what they had passed in 2010. So maybe they will vote on their own version, the Senate version, or they'll amend the Senate bill to reflect what they want. But it's a big day. And now there is a newly elected governor, Neil Abercrombie, and he has pledged to sign the bill into law. So it seems like they are way, way, way on their way down in Hawaii. So aloha, Hawaii, and way to go. So speaking of fabulosity with my housewives and my kids are all right and Hawaii passing marriage or civil unions and all this goodness. Well, one of our good friends to the Windy City Queercast and Windy City Radio, Linda Etter, is on our show today, and she is coming to Chicago just in time for Valentine's. And what a great and romantic and lovely way to spend a night in February in Chicago. Linda Etter is coming to town, and I've got her here on the Queercast. We're going to catch up. It's been a couple of years since we've talked, but she's always such a joy, and I hope that you will enjoy her too, and hopefully check out your show. So it's a big show. Lots going on. And I'm not even in Chicago. I can podcast from anywhere. I'll tell you where in some upcoming episodes. All right. Here's some messages, and then we go to the news.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of Triple Hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. After a successful fight to overturn Florida's ban on same-sex adoptions, the two young brothers adopted by Martin Gill participated in an adoption ceremony in Judge Cindy Lederman's chambers in Miami-Dade County Juvenile Court January 19th, marking the final step in their adoption process. Gill and his partner had served as foster parents to the brothers for 6 years.
A new audit reported in the Washington Post shows that the military spent about $193.3 million from 2004 to 2009 to fire and replace approximately 3,600 service members discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Each discharge cost an average of $52,000.
It seems as if Tim Cook, a gay man, will succeed Applehead Steve Jobs as he goes on medical leave. Cook, who is 50, is chief operating officer at Apple, but is also the de facto CEO overseeing daily operations. He has sold or amassed approximately $136 million in corporate shares.
He sounds like a catch. Community activist comedian Steve Burke, age 29, announced that he is running for mayor of Miami Beach, Florida, on a platform advocating marriage equality. Burke's platform also includes legalizing marijuana and installing property tax relief.
Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie appointed Sabrina Shizui McKenna to a decade-long term on the state Supreme Court, making her the first openly gay member of that judicial body.
A Quinnipiac University survey revealed that 56% of New Yorkers support marriage equality. Marriage equality bills have failed to pass New York's assembly three times.
Both houses of the Wyoming legislature have passed measures that would not recognize same-sex marriage performed elsewhere. The Senate voted 20-10 in favor of a bill sponsored by Republican State Senator Kurt Meyer. Conversely, among the other measures pending in the Wyoming House are bills that would allow same-sex marriage and civil unions.
The group Faith in America has criticized Joel Osteen, pastor of megachurch in Houston, Texas, for what it called his promotion of religion-based bigotry. On Piers Morgan's CNN talk show, Osteen said that the scripture shows that homosexuality is a sin. Additionally, when Morgan questioned Osteen about his statement's possible impact on gay and lesbians, the minister said he didn't understand the issue.
Indiana University South Bend is removing a Chick-fil-A from its campus following the fast food chain's food donations to events run by anti-gay organizations.
The U.S. Army has ordered out gay activist Lieutenant Dan Choi to pay $2,500, what it calls the unearned portion of your enlistment and re-enlistment bonus. However, Choi said he will not pay because he was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Authorities have arrested 20-year-old Kentucky resident Grant Rose for assault after allegedly attacking gay Miami University student Benjamin Collings last spring. Collings was attending a charity event at a bar when he and Rose had a heated conversation in the restroom. Outside the bar, things became physical, with Collings suffering a broken nose, two black eyes, and a fractured cheekbone.
In Georgia, Chris Staples said that his bedroom was set ablaze because of his sexual orientation. Staples said that someone first tossed a rock through the window of his Carroll County home. The rock allegedly had a piece of paper with anti-gay slurs attached to it. Later that evening, Staples woke to find his room in flames. The matter is still under investigation.
President Obama has appointed two out individuals to administrative posts and has nominated an openly gay attorney to the federal judiciary. Lesbian Roberta Ochtenberg has been appointed to the United States Commission on Civil Rights, and Jeffrey Levi has been appointed to the Advisory Group on Prevention, Health Promotion, and an Integrative and Public Health.
In North Carolina, a group of religious leaders called People of Faith for Just Relationships met in Asheville to urge the city to pass an LGBT-inclusive resolution. The group wants the city to enact an anti-bullying ordinance for all of Asheville's grounds and institutions.
In world news, David Kato, an openly gay human rights activist and advocacy officer at Sexual Minorities Uganda, was attacked in his home in Mukono, Uganda on January 26th and died on his way to the hospital.
Cato had received death threats since October, when a local newspaper published his photo alongside a cover story that charged homosexuals with recruiting children.
In Italy, the first accredited university course on gay studies in the country is being offered in Milan this winter. Almost 200 students attended the first day of class.
Same-sex marriage is becoming a front-burner issue in a race for the president of Peru. Vice presidential candidate Carlos Bruce of the Peru Possible Party has said that gay marriage is a part of our political agenda, although he has advocated for civil unions instead of marriage. Cardinal Juan Luis Cipriani Thorne of Lima has asked Catholics to reject same-sex marriage.
In China, Beijing's first same-sex wedding was held amidst a firestorm of controversy. Two men who met online held a wedding ceremony with about 50 friends attending. The couple displayed marriage certificates. However, same-sex marriage is not legally recognized in China.
In entertainment news, among the ads that might be seen during the Super Bowl is a Doritos spot with gay overtones. As a neighbor trims his hedges, he notices something very appetizing next door. He licks his lips repeatedly, but is it at the salsa verde Doritos or the two very gay men sitting by the pool eating the chips? At the end of the ad, one of the men turns to the other and says, "Told you so."
The Gay and Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association announced the winners of its Dorian Awards. I Am Love topped Black Swan, Toy Story 3, The Kids Are All Right, and The Social Network for Film of the Year, while Annette Bening won for Performance of the Year. Joan Rivers, A Piece of Work, was named Documentary of the Year. I Love You, Philip Morris, was the LGBT-themed Film of the Year. Easy A was tabbed Unsung Film of the Year, and Angela Lansbury was named the recipient of the Timeless Award.
80s singer Tiffany has apologized for outing a member of New Kids on the Block. While promoting her upcoming TV movie, Megapython vs. Gatoroid, Tiffany said of dating singer Jonathan Knight, "He's fabulous, but he became gay later," and added, "Now looking back when we were dating, he was so much fun. We used to do facials together." Knight, who has never officially come out, tweeted about the incident, prompting Tiffany to tweet, "Really didn't know that was the wrong thing to say. Never meant to hurt John."
Tammy Etheridge, the ex of Melissa Etheridge, is blasting the singer's current romance with Nurse Jackie creator Linda Wallum on her blog. Wallum was best man at the Etheridge's wedding in 2003.
Robert Downey Jr. has dropped out of the Sam Raimi film Oz, the Great and Powerful. However, Disney is hoping that Johnny Depp will take over the role in the movie, which is seen as a Wizard of Oz prequel of sorts. The film is about a young illusionist who flees a traveling circus. His balloon is caught up in a tornado and he is transported to the Land of Oz, which is run by two evil witches.
After a long journey, it seems that Wonder Woman will be a TV series as NBC has picked up David E. Kelley's project. Didn't hurt that Kelley's new show, Harry's Law, starring Kathy Bates, has made a promising start. The superhero project has been described as a reinvention in which Wonder Woman, a.k.a. Diana Prince, is a vigilante crime fighter in L.A. However, she is also a corporate executive who tries to balance all the elements of her life.
Former NFL quarterback Troy Aikman is divorcing wife Rhonda after 10 years of marriage, fueling more speculation about the ex-Dallas Cowboys quarterback's sexuality. Speculation began in the mid-90s, and other football players who have made allusions to Aikman's private life. Among those is out ex-player Dave Cope, who has apologized for pressuring Aikman out of the closet.
Former Culture Club lead singer Boy George is set to release Ordinary Alien, his first solo CD in more than a decade. The openly gay musician worked on the album with producer Kinky Roland, who has worked with Bananarama and other dance music artists. The first single, Amazing Grace, is out now.
Jerry Jewell, best known for playing Blair's cousin Jerry on the 80s show The Facts of Life, has come out of the closet. Jewel has a memoir coming out April 1st that will cover her struggles with cerebral palsy, Hollywood's discrimination of her, a manager who embezzled her money, addiction, and a broken marriage.
Actress Fran Drescher of The Nanny and her ex-husband Peter Mark Jacobson appeared on The Oprah Winfrey Show last week. Jacobson came out to her after they divorced. They had been married 21 years.
And columnist slash activist Dan Savage is possibly coming to MTV. Savage, who started the It Gets Better project last year, is working on an advice show. MTV has ordered a pilot in which Savage tours college campuses while dispensing the brand of honest and occasionally graphic sex and relationship advice known to readers of his column, Savage Love. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. TV writer slash director John Wells makes his feature film debut with The Company Men, which follows three top executives, Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, and Chris Cooper, for a year after each finds themselves unexpectedly downsized out of their corporate positions. Affleck, the youngest of the three, faces perhaps the greatest comeuppance. Arrogant and cocky, his marriage in trouble, it takes a long time for reality to set in. In essence, the big-ticket items, the foreign sports car, the McMansion, all must go on the block. All three face ageism and other woes that will be familiar to millions of upwardly mobile Americans. Wells has chosen an interesting topical subject that doesn't get much dramatic attention or sympathy, and for quite a while the movie holds for that reason alone, and the top-notch acting by the cast, which includes Maria Bello, Kevin Costner, Craig T. Nelson, Rosemary DeWitt, and Patricia Callender certainly helps. But Wells comes up with neat solutions both short and long-term for the men. One has a brother that conveniently puts him to work in his construction business, for example, and throws in some over-the-top plotting, and both of these elements toss the movie back toward his television episode, Writing Roots and String Credibility. Insightful first half, though. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 1st, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Tickets are selling quickly to Travels with My Aunt. Don't miss what the Chicago Tribune is calling sophisticated and wry, light and fanciful, and the Chicago Sun-Times proclaims is vivid, supremely well-acted, delightful, highly recommended. Many performances are already sold out. Order your tickets today at writerstheater.org.
In Brett Nouveau's Do the Hustle, Sam and Eddie are more than just a father and son. They're a crack team of hustlers always looking for the next mark. Sam, a teenager who practically raised himself, now wants to strike out on his own. Eddie doesn't want to let his son go without one final hustle. Do the Hustle is playing now. Buy tickets at writerstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Emily from the Indigo Girls, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
We can't surrender to feeling. That dance belongs to yesterday. Yet I still hear Vienna song.
Linda Eder is one of the extraordinary voices of our time, and she's a wonderful friend to the GLBT community. She has been on our show many times over the years on Les by Gay Radio and Windy City Radio, and now on our podcast. From her Drama Desk and Outer Critics Circle Award nominations for Best Actress in Jekyll and Hyde to her many award-winning recordings, she always delights and captivates audiences. So I'm thrilled to have an opportunity to catch up and talk about her upcoming show this February, on February 12th, her Vocal Valentine to the City of Chicago that will be performed at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. Happy New Year, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, are you a 21-1, 2011, 2011? Have you decided how you're going to say this year?
You know what? I haven't even thought. I just know that I've written a few checks wrong already.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly the hardest thing in the world is to start writing your dates correctly. Now, are you somebody who makes resolutions?
You know, I don't think I have in the last several years. I used to, I think, always in the past, but I don't think so. I don't think I really have.
Yeah. Now, you were last on our show in 2008, and it was right before The Other Side of Me came out, which was a really new, exciting departure for you. And I'm just curious, because we didn't get to talk after the CD came out. I mean, what did you really cull from that experience of really putting out kind of a different face of Linda out to your fans and out to the public with a whole new sound and kind of a whole new tone?
Well, you know, it's new for the fans, but it's not really new for me, because it's the kind of music that I have always loved, and sort of always, when I did any songwriting, it's also what I used to write. So in some sense, it's very much the raw, natural me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because of the way my career went, and the fact that, you know, I did love the standards as well and the Broadway show tunes, and, you know, we built a clientele with that type of music. And because I did love it, it was natural to fall into that and get, then, you know, a lot of years of that, and then getting into theater, that just compounds it, you know, that image. But all the while, I sort of knew that I had this other side of me, because, you know, in the last, you know, people probably assume that I drove around listening to Judy Garland, but I don't. I listen to country pop,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I like guitar music and all that. So it really was great in the sense that it brought back my songwriting, and it showed another facet of what I like to do. And I think I've become known for the kind of singer that can actually sing a lot of different styles pretty well.
Yeah.
And with a little bit of authenticity to it. And so this was just another badge of that. And so now I feel actually complete. So,
yeah.
Which is why I started calling my show All of Me, because I was able to run the gamut from Broadway to big band to standards to pop, all the way through to country pop. And I love it. You know, I just like all kinds of music, and I like the fact that I can do all kinds of music and change my voice and adapt my style, you know, to each one. And I have a band that can pretty much play anything, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't wait to talk about your band. But I just want to ask you this one question, because it sounds like there has somehow in the past few years, you said, you know, even with saying All of Me and really being able to step into authentically all sides of that as being Linda Etter, you know, kind of balancing maybe the urban city, as you said, Broadway, nightlife kind of persona that you had for many years. And then I know your love of animals and the outdoors and the simple things in life. And, you know, it feels like you've kind of been able to really expand and find new balance. Is that, because that has happened in your music, have you felt that in your life? I mean, are the two really in sync for you almost on a spiritual level?
Yeah, I think so. I think it also, it just happens as you get older, you know, as you know, I'm 49 now. So, I mean, I think that's a natural progression in life anyway, if we're lucky. You know, we sort of mature and we grow up and we learn about the realities of life, and we start to learn what's most important in life. And if we're lucky, we learn that, and because it's the simplest things that really make us happier. So
yeah,
I think the music is a representation of that, because it's also simpler music.
Yeah.
And it's very, the lyrics are just very honest. It's not so stylized that the other music, I always feel like I'm role-playing a little bit, because, you know, I'm not from Brooklyn. I wasn't born in the trunk, you know. I'm not from the opera world or whatever. I'm, you know, I'm just a Minnesota, you know, Midwest girl with a very normal upbringing and small town. And so in order to sing those other types of music, I always feel like I am role-playing as far as the persona. You know, and what I'm wearing and how I'm acting and pulling the song off. Whereas the other stuff feels, it has made me stand on the stage for the first time when I am doing that kind of, those kind of songs, and feel 100% finally like myself. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is I've been able to pull that into the rest of the music. It changed how I looked at and approached all of the music now. I feel it's a lot more me.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool that you get to reinterpret songs that you've put your own interpretation on, you know, now again.
Well, yeah, because I'm, for once in my life, I'm not hearing other voices in my head when I sing. I'm just hearing me now, because I know who I am. And I really didn't when I first started out. I was a mimic.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because it takes a lot of vulnerability to do what you're doing now, right? I mean, there's something that in playing characters, whether it's for a 3-minute song or for a 3-hour, you know, big musical or operetta, you get to hide a little bit behind character. But when you stand out front, I'm sure, as you say, with your songwriting, coming forth more in this time, in this new voice, and also just really saying, this is Linda, you know, this is not this character or this role I'm playing. It's brave, you know, it's a brave place. It sounds like you're saying, I'm brave enough to do that now, or I know myself enough to do that now, or I'm enjoying doing that now, is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, and I understood that it would be, you know, there would be some people that wouldn't like it, but I always felt the majority would, and I kind of wanted to do what made me happy. And the gamble sort of paid off, because I finally got a good review from a critic we have here in New York who is one of the major music critics who, you know, does all the concerts. And over the years, he's always praised vocal abilities, but never thought I was authentic. And I never really disagreed with him. You know, other people are like, he shouldn't say that. Inside, I'm thinking, no, he's not really wrong. Well, he came to a show where I was doing all the newer stuff, and for the first time ever, you know, gave me a great review. And so I guess it goes back to that same old thing. You can fool people for a while, but you really can't fool them forever. You got to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to talk about Judy Garland, but I'm going to talk about that later because, you know, the gays will be upset if I don't ask. But I will say that when you were here in 2008, you sang with the Chicagoland Pops Orchestra. This time, I think it's reflective of where you are in this conversation that you and I are having right now. It's a band that you've assembled. It's a smaller group of artists that are going on this journey with you. Talk to me about the new show and some of the people that you'll be performing, who will be accompanying you?
I'm just putting out a new record, which comes out in February, which is called Now. And I have done one more since the Other Side of Me record. It's a movie called Soundtrack, which is all songs that you've heard in the movies and stuff that
I love.
And it's a mix of all the styles and poppy kind of things mixed in with, you know, kind of jazzier things. And then this is the newest album, and this one is the reuniting of Frank Wildhorn and me. And, you know, we've obviously have a history together, and I always knew at some point we would work together again. I was eager to do my own thing for a while, but always knowing in the back of my mind, yes, I will one day sing his songs again, because he writes great stuff for me and has written some of my best songs over the years. And I think I know how to sing his music, you know, better than anybody, and it's a very natural collaboration. So we've made a new record that's all his stuff, and it also brings back all so many of the great lyricists that we worked with over the years. And it's all the big, big power ballads and some brand new big up tempo, big band kind of things. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of great, beautiful melodies. So I'll be putting in several of those from the new album.
That's fantastic.
Way of promoting that.
And that's called Now. It's called Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Now,
and I seem to always be talking to you like right before these CDs come out. So I kind of am going to have like these interviews before, and then I'm going to have to quickly have another interview with you as soon as the CD comes out.
Well, but I feel lucky to keep letting me make records.
That's fantastic. We're glad that you do. So you're going to be premiering some of these songs from the new CD Now, when you're here in Chicago. Is there going to be a theme of love since it's around February?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, it's pretty hard to get away from that theme when you sing
music,
because most of it is about that. There are very few songs written in the world that aren't about that. So,
yeah.
Definitely will be.
Yeah. So, and you're going to be, who is going to be leading your band?
Well, for the last several years here now, I've been working with Billy Stein, who we got together to do the Other Side of Me record, and he's just a great all-around classically trained pianist and can do anything. So he is the musical director, and then the band is put together of the guys that I've been working with over the last couple of years and have grown so much working with them, because you need to work with new people in order to grow. And that's the other thing. I felt like I really grew musically more in the last
you know, 4 years than I had in the prior 10, because I was always kind of doing the same thing with the same people. And these new musicians really brought something to it. I have a woman in the band named Allison Cornell, who's a great, she plays great viola, violin, and keyboards and guitar, and she sings great. And then Jerry Murata is a very famous drummer, who's Peter Gabriel's drummer, who he's in the band, he sings. And Peter Kahlo is a guitarist that I've known for years, who's great. It's great to have guitar back in the band. And it's just a, you know, and then second keyboard, because that's obviously important for all the different sounds that you can make with that. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fun group and very talented, and they teach me all the time.
Now, do you are you happy and hungry here in 2011 to be getting on stage with some of these new songs? I mean, I guess there's a different kind of intimacy of figuring them out and working through them in the studio, and then when you reveal them to your audiences, is there excitement in that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, it's always a reaction. Wait to see if the song's going to play live, because some songs are great on record, but they don't translate as well live. It's just, there's a different energy about live, and that's why it kind of evolves over the course of time, and there's always a certain number that really work well live. Although I think the majority of this record would go over well live. It's just sort of geared toward that, the style that it is. So it's really just a matter of trying to narrow it down, because, you know, I don't want to do the whole record, but I might do as many as seven or eight from the record.
Wow, that's going to give everybody that's going to be a good sales pitch for people going and picking up that CD real quick.
Well, we hope so. That's the goal.
So talk to me about today. I mean, today's artists, today's singers, songwriters, I mean, who's on your iPod? I always love to know what artists are listening to themselves, like what inspires them. You say, you know, you get better working with new people. You know, who are you listening to that you'd love to work with, even if it's somebody, you know, that would be very surprising to all of us?
Well, I've always said I would love to sing with Bryan Adams, but, you know, and he's been around forever. I just love his voice. But I love the group The Script.
The Script?
The Script, yep.
I don't know them.
It Don't Break Even. It's a really, it was a big, big pop hit. They play it all the time, and it's probably one of the songs that's going to go into constant rotation and become a sort of a pop classic. But I like Lady Antebellum. I like Little Big Town. I like a lot of people. I love a lot of Lady Gaga's music. I mean, my range is very wide. It really just depends on if I like the song and if I like the voice. So it's a pretty eclectic, and I like a lot of instrumental music.
Yeah. Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, I like ABBA.
Yeah. ABBA Gold. ABBA Gold, you could be on an island with ABBA Gold deserted, and you'd feel like it was a party. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Glenn Campbell.
Oh, Glenn Campbell. Now, have you spent any time in Nashville? It sounds like you could hang down there for a while and just, you know, jam at the Bluebird.
Yeah. A couple occasions I have gone down, and I almost went early on. I had a record producer come, you know, when I first was starting out, and it was a little bit of a wind blowing a slightly different way. I could have ended up going down there, you know, and right off the bat going into what was sort of innate to me, which that my history would be very different today. Who knows? Who knows where it would have gone? But there's so much about country music that I love. And I love the storytelling. I love the rawness, realness of the voices. You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because what we call country music today is probably like 70s classic rock in the 70s. You know, I mean, it's it's very interesting how, or even, you know, folk. I mean, there's become such a,
but it's always been that way, really, when you think about it. I mean, Patsy Cline is considered country, yet, but she didn't really sing country. She just sang beautifully.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. She was a crier. You know, whenever people can do that cry, I mean, that's why Katie Lang was probably seen country at first. You know, when they have that ache in their voice, people just automatically say country. So, you know, you said your path could have gone a different way. The wind could have blown a different way. And definitely Star Search was a big vehicle, you know, for the path that you took and a lot of your name getting out there. And today it just seems like, you know, there's just so many shows looking for the next it. But at that time, you know, there wasn't a landscape, you know, peppered with all these other shows looking for the X Factor and the Idol and the, you know, America's Talented and the Dancer and all of this. Do you think we still are finding or able to find good talent through reality television? Do you think that that's still a fantastic way that the common man or woman can maybe get a shot? Or is it the only way they get a shot today? I mean, quite frankly.
No, I think real talent always sort of bubbles to the surface somehow. Mm-hmm. If it's got, but it can't just be just a great voice. It has to also have a great song and the personality. That's something about the personality, you know, that interests people. But it's that's why it's a mystery.
Yeah.
Why some people will inspire other people to get out of their car, out of their house, get in their car and go drive and sit in an auditorium or go pick up a CD or download the music. I mean, no one really knows what that is. So.
Yeah.
Yes, I think any avenue that you get heard will produce a star.
Yeah. Did you feel like that was a very taxing experience, Star Search? I mean, they talk about how hard it is, you know, some of these kids that go through the American Idol experience, you know, just
I think
the demands are very high on these kids.
Well, it's not even just the demands. I mean, it's just this exploitation of reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marriage of reality TV and a talent show, and that's what's bad. And, you know, I feel sorry from that regard. My talent show was so much nicer to people because it was hard enough to be sitting up there and be judged. But when you're intentionally exploited to be a source of entertainment for somebody, you know, that's kind of exposing the uglier side of humanity.
Yeah. I mean, you had Grandpapa Ed McMahon, you know, these guys have like the bickering Ryan Seacrest with Simon Cowell for years, you know? It's a little different. So now it's been kind of rumored. I don't even know if we can say it's announced that Barbara Streisand may do Gypsy. And I'm just wondering, you know, who knows if that's been Barbara Streisand's big dream to do Gypsy. I mean, she's a little older for Gypsy. She was a little younger for Dolly many, many, many years ago. But is there one role that would make you just, you know, kind of, you know, salivate a little bit and that you would say, okay, it's worth it to go. I've authentically been Linda now for a little while. I could go slip into a role for a while and be on the Broadway boards for a year and be really excited to do that show. Is there a role that you still really would love to do?
There are stories that I wish would be written into musicals that I would like to do, and I don't want to.
Ooh.
The one I have in mind, I don't want to name in case we ever get around to doing it. One role that I actually was offered to go into, and I was advised wrongly not to take it, was Annie Get Your Gun. It was offered, you know, they were going to offer it, and I should have done it. It was after I had been in Jekyll, right after, and it would have been so great for me because I am sort of Annie Oakley in my real life. And I like that musical. It's fun and old-fashioned, and I would have liked to have done that, but I don't know. I think the part that I'm dreaming to play hasn't really been written yet.
That's exciting. Then go out and make sure it gets written, Linda Etter, so we can all come and watch, because we sure do enjoy you sharing your talents with us and all of yourself, all of you. Linda Etter's Vocal Valentine Show coming to Chicago. It's one performance only at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie, and that is on Saturday, February 12th. Great thing to do for Valentine's, for your Valentine, or perhaps with a new Valentine. Saturday, February 12th, one show only at 8 o'clock. Tickets are on sale now, everyone, at the North Shore Center box office, the northshorecenter.org website, or you can call 847-673-6300. And I know many of you listening don't live near Chicago. You live in California or the Northeast, and Linda's entire touring schedule can be found on her website and all of the CDs and more that we've mentioned here today at lindaetter.com. We'll have that linked in our show notes and take you right to her site. Linda, we cannot wait to see you on the stage and so glad that you're coming back to Chicago.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. I am enjoying this week. I'm out west, and maybe you can figure out where I am. I'm out west. It's been 45 to 50 degrees and sunny, so it's definitely not, I'm not in a bikini, but I am enjoying the mountain air and the beautiful skies and a lot that what I feel is truly Americana has to offer. So I know those of you in Chicago have been dealing with cold and some snow, and those of you not in Chicago and listen to our podcast, I don't know what you're experiencing, but I hope it's as fabulous as what I'm experiencing. So I can't wait for that Real Housewives reunion finale just to wrap this whole season up. I don't know what I'm going to do without the girls for the whole spring. Ugh, what does one do once one gets plugged in to the Real Housewives? I guess my brother says I need to start watching the Real Housewives of New York. So we'll see. It could happen. I usually take his suggestions wholeheartedly. But big week coming up, and we're going to be talking about the gays and babies. We've had a boom, haven't we? And The Kids Are All Right, the film that is featured, has shown what the last 20 years has done for GLBT parenting. And there's a new book coming out, and I'm going to be speaking with one of the contributors to that book about the GLBT community and parenting. So that's going to be huge. And also coming up later on this month, we're going to be talking about the GLBT community and Christianity, and where those two worlds are still colliding and where some harmony is starting to sing for those two communities. And I can just tell you one other fabulous thing, because it seems to be my theme of the day, but I have been waiting and waiting. And did I say I've been waiting for the fantastic iPhone to come to Verizon? And the day is here. We can all, as of this week, order our iPhones, those of us who are Verizon users. And I am a loyal Verizon user, so I have been patient 3 years, patient. And I am so excited. I probably am not going to buy mine till March, but if any of you have thoughts on your iPhone, or you too are excited to get a Verizon iPhone, let me know. I'm very excited about it. Give me a call and leave me a message. All right. Much love to you all. Hope you have a great, great week. And thanks for spending a little bit of it here with me. And I hope you catch Linda Etter as she's rolling through Chicago. Or if you're not in Chicago, then check out her website and find her in a city near you. Because she's just dreamy and fabulous, like all those Real Housewife ladies. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.